Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on daf Mem Beis on Beis. Elisha finished off after the Mishnah yesterday. I want to thank Elisha Graf again very much for giving the shiur over the course of this past week when I was unable to give the shiur, and it's good to be back. So let's begin on daf Mem Beis on Beis right after the Mishnah. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lizchusser for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have for Shalema Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. So in the Mishnah that Elisha read yesterday, the Mishnah pointed out that there are a number of items, shtaros, karkaos, hekdeshos, avadim, not in that order, avadim, shtaros, karkaos, hekdeshos, a number of items that have a unique set of halachos that apply to those items. Specifically, halachos that shavua does not apply to them, kefil does not apply to them, dalet vehe does not apply to them, a shomer chinam would never have to be nishba on them, a shomer sacher would never have to pay for them. Those are the unique halachos that relate specifically to that list of items. So in the Gemara, at first, the Gemara is going to discuss what the source is for each of those items being excluded from those halachos, or from each of those halachos. Then the Gemara is going to explain the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shim and the Chacham that we had in the Mishnah, whether there's a Shavua on Eser Gefanim Netuos. The Mishnah had said that if someone makes a taina that you owe me 10 laden vines, and the other guy says, no, I only owe you 5 laden vines, whether that's called the modeh b'miktzas, or do we assume that that's not subject to the shavua of modeh b'miktzas? So we try to figure out what that machlokas is about, and the Gemara is going to ultimately conclude that it's about whether kol ha'omdos libatzur kibitzuros damyan or not. Something that's about to be cut, do we view it as if it is already cut or not? Then the Gemara is going to have machlokas when our Mishnah talks about someone makes an inexact taina. He doesn't say, you owe me 10 pounds of this or 10 cases of that. He says, bayis ze mule, this, or bayis mule, a house full of something. And he says, no, not a house full. This is what I owe you. It's less than a house full. What if the person doesn't just say a house full? He says, bayis ze mule. He points to a house. Is that exact enough when he points to a house? Or do we say, no, that's not a standard unit of measuring when you talk about a full house? And it's not even clear how one would define a full house. So that is a machlokas. Then we're going to have a new Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, which is going to discuss cases of Kofar HaKol and cases of Modeh B'Miktzas when the only suffix is how much a lost mashkon was worth. Meaning I borrowed money from you, but I gave you a mashkon. The mashkon is now gone. So we argue about how much that mashkon was worth. So how can that end up being a case where I am Kofar HaKol, I am Modeh B'Miktzas, where you are Kofar HaKol, you are Modeh B'Miktzas, so 4 different permutations relating to a lost mashkon. And then the Gemara is going to discuss in which case of the Mishnah do the Rabbanan have to make a takana that the guy with the pikadon is the one that takes the shvua. We're going to have 2 explanations of which case of the Mishnah that last line of the Mishnah is going on. And then the Gemara is going to tell us a chiddush of Shmuel, and we're going to analyze that well into tomorrow's daf, where Shmuel's mechadesh, that even something that's a very cheap mashkon is treated as if it's worth the entire chov. I borrowed $1,000 from you, I gave you something small, something cheap as a mashkon. If that mashkon gets lost, the $1,000 is forgiven. We treat it as if it's worth the entire chov. That is the great chiddush of Shmuel, and the Gemara is going to challenge that chiddush from our Mishnah. But again, let's begin. We are right after the Mishnah, and again, we're discussing all of these halachos that don't apply to avadim, shtaros, karkaos, and hekdeshos. So one of the things that we mentioned, just even, actually, let's get started. So it says Gemara, tashlume kefel minalan. How do I know that tashlume kefel doesn't apply to these items? That you steal these items, you do not have to pay double. So Gemara says, because the Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa that darshens the psukim about kefel. Al kol dvar pesha klal. It says al kol dvar pesha, that's a very general statement. That sounds like it includes everything, even avadim shtaros, karkos, and hekdeshos, al shor, v'al chamor, v'al seh, v'al salma, prat. But then it starts getting very specific types of animals and clothing, and then al kol aveda, chazur kolal. Then it's al kol aveda, which again is a very general statement. So what do you do? Klal uprat uklal, yatadon, elakena prat. The rule is, whenever you have a klal uprat uklal, the only things that are included in this parsha of tashlume kefel are things that are similar to the items that are listed explicitly in the pasuk. Mahaprat mefurish davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. So what is unique about the items listed in the pasuk? They're not all animals. Salma was in the pasuk also. So what's unique about all of them, what they all have in common, is that they're all movable things and they're all inherently valuable. It's not representative value, it's inherent value. So I've called davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. So what types of things do you pay kefil for? That which is movable, that which is a movable object, and that which is gufa mamon, which has inherent value. Yatsu karkaos she'in metaltelin, yatsu avadim shuhukshu l'karkaos. That excludes karkaos, which are not metaltelin, they're not movable, and therefore they don't fit the bill, they don't qualify for what we're including in this pasuk. And also, yatsu avadim shuhukshu l'karkaos, and it also excludes avadim, because they're, even though they are physically movable, they are considered to be like karka, they have the same halacha as karka, so even though they're physically movable, they're considered as if they're not movable. Yatsu shtaros, shavpi she metaltelin, ein gufan mamon. And it also excludes shtaros, because even though they are both physically and halachically movable, but they don't fit the other requirement, they are not gufan mamon. What about hekdeshos? Hekdeshos are movable and are gufan mamon, at least they can be. So if that's the case, why are hekdeshos excluded? Hekdesh re'ehu ksiv. Hekdesh is because the pasuk says explicitly the word re'ehu, so it means it belongs to another regular person, not that it belongs to Hekdesh. And then we had said weiter in the Mishnah that not only do you not pay kefel. We take out the words velo tashlum kefel over here because we just finished discussing that. But velo arba v'chamisha, you also don't pay dalid v'hei. So you would imagine we must have some drasha that teaches that just like it's excluded from the parsha of kefel, we're going to look at the parsha of dalid v'hei and exclude all of these items from the parsha of dalid v'hei. Says more my taima tashlum arba v'chamisha merachman velo tashlum shlosh v'arba. No, it's not automatic. As soon as you're not paying kefel, you automatically don't pay dalid v'hei, because if you can't pay kefel, there is no real din of dalid vehe. The din is that including kefel, it then adds up to dalid vehe. But once you don't have kefel, it would only be gimel v'dalid, but we never heard of such a thing. There is no payment of gimel v'dalid. There's only a payment of dalid vehe. So mela, there's not going to be a payment of dalid vehe. Now it's interesting that we even discuss, why do I need to learn that karka is not subject to kefel? Shouldn't we just assume Karkain and Nixelas? That's why there's no kefel. Why we have to have a drasha that it's not metaltelin, and that's why karka doesn't pay kefel. How do you steal karka? You could use it, but you can't ultimately steal it. There's no way to take it. So Tosus points out, Vein ben tashlumi kefel, and Tavi says, Da'afilu bekarka shaycha gneva, kugon masa gvul. He says, even by karka, there could be such a thing as gneva. If you're masa gvul, you move over the property line, the fence that separates your property and your neighbor's property, that's called stealing karka. So that's where the hava amina would have been, that I would pay kefel or dalav. I don't know what the hava amina of dalav hay would have been by karka. I guess machar, yeah, if you were then mocher. Inami begfanim tuunos v'ala toein tainas ganav. Or maybe it's gefanim to unos and he's towing tainas ganav. Rav Meir Modinami b'she'inam dosli batzer. And if you have gefanim to unos that you have laden vines that are not yet umdosli batzer, so then everyone would agree that it has dino kekarka. We're going to see it's machlokas today whether when they are umdosli batzer, whether it's dino kekarka or dino kemetaltelin. Shomer chinam enu nishba. And then we had said in the Mishnah that also on avadim shtaros karkos and ekdeshos, shomer chinam never has to swear that he wasn't posheya. So minahan imili. How do I know that's the case, that shomer chinam is excluded from swearing on these items? The Tan Rabban, because the Brisa teaches as follows: ki yitein ish el re'ehu. Pasuk says in the parsha of Shavuas shomer chinam, ki yitein ish el re'ehu. So that's klal. Sounds like no matter what someone gives to somebody else to watch. Kesef or kelim, but then it gets very specific. If he gives him kesef or kelim, prat, then lishmar, to watch, chazer v'klal. Klal prat to klal, yatadon, ela ke'en haprat. Klal prat to klal is always considered to be, that has to be something, only includes that which is similar to the prat, in that, ma prat mefurish davar metaltel v'gufa mamon, over here as well, the items that are listed are things that are movable and are inherently valuable, af kol davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. So too, Shomer Chinam is only Nishva, and that which is metaltel, that which is movable, and is inherently valuable. Yatsu Karkaos Shein Metaltel, that obviously excludes Karka, which is not movable. Yatsu Avadim Shehukshu L'Karkaos, it excludes Avadim that are Hukash L'Karkaos, and Yatsu Shtaros Shav Pisha Metaltel, and Ein Gufan Mamon, it excludes Shtaros, because even though they are movable, they aren't inherently valuable. The same exact limud that we had before about the Kefel, and Hekdish Re'ehu Ksiv, and it excludes Hekdish, because it says Re'ehu. And then we said, no, say sachar ena mishalem, that a shomer sachar doesn't have to pay. So minalan the tan rabbanan. So Brisa also darshens the pesukim by shomer sachar ki tenu shal re'eu klal chamoro shorose prat. Now this second klal is not as inclusive as the other second klals, because called behema lishmar, but still it's more inclusive than the prat, where it mentions specifically chamaro sharoseh. Klal ad hektish re'euksiv, and just go through the whole limud that we just had, meaning the Gemara doesn't even bother mentioning the whole limud, that ma prat davar metaltel v'gufa mamun, I've called davar metaltel v'gufa mamun, so that's why it excludes karka, which is not metaltel, and it excludes avadim that are hukash l'karkaos, it excludes shtaros that are not gufan mamon, and it excludes hegdish because it doesn't say re'ehu. So good, so we know that some of the dinim of shomrim don't apply to these items. What about, though, there's another halacha of shomer. The halacha of shomer chinam is, we discussed the halacha of shomer chinam, that if the item is gone and the shomer chinam says it was gone, if it was avat, something like that, it was honest, whatever he claims, he has to take a shavua that he wasn't posheya. Yeah, what if he was posheya? So what's the halacha by a shomer chinam? If he's poshay on something, he has to pay. Shia, you got to pay for. So does that halacha apply by these items? Let's say you give your eved or your karka to shomer chinam to watch, and he's completely posheya, and it destroys everything. It ruins the whole thing, or the item is gone because he's posheya. Does he now have to pay for it? So that is a major machlokes in the Rishonim over here. Meaning, are we saying that these items are mufka from Parshas HaShomrim? Or are we saying they're mufka from these specific halachos within Parshas HaShomrim? So the large majority of the Rishonim, Tosfos over here in the Ibra Maskel Shomer Chinam, and many other Rishonim, did you discuss this yesterday?
No.
Okay. So the large majority of Rishonim say that usually it's a safe bet on Amud Beis that things don't get a large majority of Rishonim assume that a Shomer Chinam doesn't pay if he's poshea b'karkos avadim ushtaros, just like a Shomer Sachar doesn't pay if it's Gnev v'aveda. Why does the Mishnah only say that a Shomer Chinam is eino nishba? It doesn't say that he doesn't pay like it says by Shomer Sachar, because by the parsha of Shomer Chinam it talks about a chiyuv shvua. The chiyuv pshia of a Shomer Chinam is learned from the fact that a Shomer Sachar is chayv b'pshia. It's no explicit parsha in the Torah, so that's why we happen to not mention it. It's only by a Shomer Sachar where it says the chiyuv of tashlumin, so that's why the Mishnah mentions Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, Shomer Sachar Eino Mishalim, because we're just mentioning that which is explicit in the Torah. But a Shomer Chinam is pater from the Chiyuv Shvua that it says by Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar is pater from Chiyuv Tashlumin, and from there we also learn that a Shomer Sachar is pater from Chiyuv Shvua Nonsim, a Shomer Chinam is pater from Chiyuv Tashlumin on Pshia. However, the Shitas HaRambam in the second parak of Hilchos Chirus Halacha Gimel is that all Shomrim that are Posheya Ba'avadim, Shtaros, Karkaos, are chayiv, and the svara for the Shitas Rambam is that he learns pshia is midin mazik. Pshia is not midin shomer, meaning enochi nami. It's true, the shomer chinam is excluded from everything included in the parsha of shomrim, but this is not the parsha of shomrim. This is a din of mazik, and from the chi of mazik, the Torah doesn't pater these items. Gneva aveda is a din in shomrim. Din of mazik is different. Those rishonim that disagree with the Rambam hold that a shomer that's posheha is not considered a mazik biadayim. It's only at most begrama that he's mazik. So why is he chayiv? He's chayiv midine shomrim. He's not chayiv midine mazik. The Ravid brings a raya that a posheha is not a din of a mazik from the fact that we paskin that in Bailavimo a pater, the shomer is pater even mipshia, meaning the din of Bailavimo applies even to a shomer chinam. So why would the din of Bailavimo apply even to a case of pshia? Rather, it applies even when the person is negligent. If you hold that being negligent is the same same as being mazik. So if you're standing right next to your car and I walk over with a baseball bat and I smash the window of your car, we don't say, ah, pater, by levimo, the guy was standing right there, the owner was right there. No, if I'm a mazik, I'm a mazik. There's no din of by levimo with a mazik. So says the Ravid, if there's a din of by levimo on pshia, then there must be a din of then pshia must be a din of shmira and not a din of mazik. Now the Rambam would explain that no, by levimo, what by levimo normally accomplishes is that by levimo makes it that you're not a shomer at all. That a shomer is when someone entrusts me with watching something. If he's standing over my shoulder the entire time watching it himself, then that makes me not a shomer. So that's it's mufka from the parsha of Shomrim when you have by levimo. So that's a totally different svara for how by levimo works. That's how the Shach and Siman Samach Vav explains the Shitas HaRambam. By levimo is not a shomer at all. He's not chayiv to watch it. And Mele, when he's posheya, it's not. He's not considered kemazik because he's allowed to be posheya. He's not responsible to watch it. It's the owner that's responsible to watch it. Okay. Rameir Omer Yesh Rom Shem Kikar Kavedim Kikar. And then we said in the Mishnah that Rameir holds that there are certain items that are like karka, but they aren't themselves karka. So says Gemara Mechlal the Rameir Savar Kol Mechubur LeKarka Eino Kikarka, because the example that we gave of that which is like karka but which is not karka is gefanim tuunos. You have vines that are laden with grapes. So it sounds like Rameir holds that that which is mechubur lekarka does not have a din of karka, and therefore, if you have a moda b'mitzas on gefanim tuunos, you would be chayav shvua. But if it's only about being mechubur lekarka, and the machlokas is whether mechubur lekarka is kekarka, why do we talk about laden vines? Talk about vines that are not laden with anything, and you'd have the same halacha, would be the same issue of mechubur lekarka. So says Gemara Elam Rabbi, they take away the word Ela, but Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Hacha ba'anavim omdos lihi batzer kamifliki. No, the machlokas is not about whether something that's mechubur lekarka is kekarka. For sure, that which is mechubur lekarka is kekarka. Over here we're talking about grapes that are ready to be harvested. Rameir Savar Kibitsuros Damyan. Rameir holds it's considered as if they are already harvested, and therefore they're metaltalin, and that's why they're subject to Shavuos Modim Mitzvahs. Rabbanan Savri Lo Kibitsuros Damyan. The Rabbanan hold they're not considered Kibitsuros Damyan. They're not considered to be as if they are already harvested. Now Tosus points out that is this true Legabe everything? Meaning Rameir holds their Kibitsuros Damyan. It's as if they're already detached. So in Shabbos, if you notice a grapevine that has ripened, fully ripened grapes, are you allowed to go pluck a few off of the vine and start eating them? Because kibitzuras damyan, they're already considered to be detached from the vine. How far do we take this idea that it's omeid lihibatzer is kibitzuras damyan? So Tos points out nearer the lenin Shabbos lukuli amalav kibitzuras damyan. Now when it comes to Shabbos, certainly not. Ukimuchubaros damu degamar miktzuras samanim shoysala achrasham likatzer, because you have to look at the malachas of Shabbos are derived from the malachas of the Mishkan, and then presumably when they would be kotzer the sabmanim, it was only when they were ready to be picked, and yet nevertheless that's called a violation of kotzer. When it comes to Balchov, that karka is not meshubatu Balchov, but metaltalin is, so we would say that it would for sure be, I would say the opposite, that karka is meshubat, not metaltalin, we would say it certainly would have a din of metaltalin. Kimucha perakanara, gabe hadam rav yosef, zil havla mitamri dal budya, deparach sof sof, kolami ligzos, higazos dami. That the Gemara over there takes it as a dover pashut, that which is ready to be harvested is as if it's already metaltalin. But if you have a shaykh lepluta dahacha, my kasha lay, demakarabon and sphere lay. But if it were subject to this machlokas, then you can't ask a kasha that, hey, everybody knows that which is omeid to be cut is already considered cut. No, it's a machlokas. So apparently it's not a machlokas over there, that everyone assumes that would be the case when it comes to a balchov. So we have this machlok shomer lecham by anav omdos libatzer peros omdim likatzer. According to the Chum, they have a din when it comes to shvua as if they're mechubar lekarka, which is kikarka, and you ain't nishban al karkos. According to Rameir, they do not have a din of karka. So Rameir says a person says you owe me yeser gefanim to unos, and the other guy says no, it was only five. He's chayiv a shvua midin modu b'mitzas. Rabbi Yosef Chanina says that whole machlok is right. right? That's our chiddush and our sugya. The whole machlokas is about whether omdos libatzar are kibitzuros damyan or not. Now there is a very similar machlokas that appears in a number of places in Shas, in Baba Kama and elsewhere. A very similar machlokas, but probably not identical machlokas. A machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Shimon holds that kol omed liftos kipadoihu, that which is omed to be redeemed is as if it's already redeemed by kachim that are omed the pidyon, meaning makdish something, and it's not something that the Beis Hamikdash could use really. It's something that it's obviously it's meant to be nifta, it's meant to be redeemed. So we view it as if it's already padu. Kol omed lizrok kizaroku, the Gemara says that which is omed lizrok on the mizbech by karbanos, that the dam is omed lizarik on the mizbech, it's as if it's zarik on the mizbech. The Gemara Baba Kama says kol omed lisrof kizarufu by surei ana, where the chiyuv is to burn it. Do we view it as if it's already burnt? Kol omed lisrof kisaruf dami. So that's machlokas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Do we say in those cases kol omed li is ki? So Tosos points out in Maseches Baba Kama over there that in all of those cases there's a mitzvah to do that which is omed li, meaning to be poda the hegdish, to be zorek the dam, to be sorek the yisurena. Those are mitzvahs that one has to do. They are not a natural process, however, and that's what distinguishes these two machlokas. Tosos points out that when it's a halachic requirement to do that which is omed to be done, so that's the machlokas Tanaim, Rabbi Shimon al-Kham, do we say, oh, since it's a halachic requirement, it's kit, as if it's already done. But a natural process, which is not a halachic requirement, maybe not. Maybe it's not kit. Or you could say the opposite. Then no, that which is a halachic requirement, but who says I'm going to do the halachic requirement? It's not something that the laws of nature demand that it happens. But so that's not really so omed lid. There are lots of people that maybe don't observe all the mitzvahs that they should be observing. But when it comes to a natural process that the fruits grow and then ultimately they have to come off of the tree, so that's kol omed li, that's a natural process of omed li, and that would certainly be, that would certainly have the status of ki. So there's a major discussion in the Rishonim how far we take this this idea of kol omed li is ki. There's a Shara Melech that discusses, he says that the halach is like the Chacham who disagree with Rabbi Shimon and hold that we don't say kol omed li is ki, and even though the halach is kol omed lichatech, and even though la halacha kol omed lichatech is chatuch kedasha Rabbi Meir, it's only by davar omed mitzad teva, but by davar omed mitzad halacha to do, we don't say is ki. So so the Shara Ephraim in his Tshuvas, in Tshuvas Shara Ephraim, he discusses, he also says we pass like Chacham, but he says even by omid li chatech al pidarko, it's not kechatech la halacha. He says, he discussed the following case. Let's say you have a challah that is baked. It's fully baked, so fully baked that one end of the challah is burnt to a crisp. No one would eat that end of the challah. So what would a person normally do when he has such a loaf of bread? You would cut off the burnt section of the bread and eat the rest of the loaf of bread. Can you use it for lecha mishnah? So he suggests, kol omid li, if it's omid lachtuch, of course you would cut it off. So it's kichatuch dami. So it's as if it's already cut off, and therefore it's not a shalim. It's not a shalim. You're not allowed to use it for lacha mishnah. I mean, if you really take this far, that anything that's omid le happen is as if it's already happened. So some of the other achronim say that's ridiculous. How could you say such a thing? Every challah is omid lachtuch. I mean, that's what you do with challah. You're supposed to cut the challahs. So you should never have a shalim. So that lechor is not really such a kasha, because whenever we say omed li, it always means that it's the next step. That omed li means the very next thing you're supposed to do is to do the chaticha. For example, there's a chasam sofer that has a tshuva that discusses the minag of the Hungarian women, that the Hungarian chassidim used to have a minag, still do have a minag, that after the bia rishona they shave off all their hair for the next tevila b'mikvah, and forevermore a married woman she shaves off all of her hair. So the chasam sofer discusses in the tshuva how she could be tovel before the wedding. Isn't her hair a chatzitza? Meaning the hair that's on her body, it's omid lachtoch, it's supposed to be cut off, and therefore it should be a chatzitza, it should be considered a foreign substance to the body. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, that's not omid li. Omid li means everything else that is already in order for that step to happen. The minig is only to be chotech after the bia rishona. She's not yet married when she does her first tevila. She's not yet, she didn't get married, she didn't have the bia rishona. Roshana. So it's not there yet. It's not yet Omed Le. The fact that sometime in the distant future it's Omed Le, that doesn't mean anything. So the Chara, that's the answer for the Shire Ephraim. That, you know, when it comes to the burnt edge of the bread, nothing else has to happen. It's Omed Lech. If you're ready to cut it off, anyone who would eat it would cut it off. The fact that you're going to slice your bread, that's only once you say a bracha. That's only once you wash. It's only once you're ready for your su'uda. Only then is it omed lachtoch as far as slicing the bread is concerned. There are a number of other discussions. There's a discussion in one of the Hungarian poskim about matzos that they used to make dafka in a way that they wanted to make it easier to pull out of the oven. So they made the doughs connected to each other. They made the matzos the pizza with a like a ridged line in between each other, so they can crack them off from each other. So they want to know, are those considered shlemos, or are those considered all, they're all considered prusos, because when you break them off from each other, even though it looks like a beautiful round matzah, but when it baked stuck to another one. Or do you say, no, kalomid leke, even when it baked that way, it was only baking that way so they could pull 10 out of the oven at one time by just pulling at one end, but they weren't trying to make one big loaf. So again, all of these discussions you have in the poskim about how far we take kalomid leke is ke. So the Mishnah had mentioned we only take a shvuah on that which is davar shebemida v'shebemishkal, something that could be easily measured or weighed or counted or minyan. Amar Rabbi Lo Shanu El Damar Le Bayis Stam Al Damar Le Bayis Zem Malay Yediyat Tanasei. This whole halacha that if a person says a house of this item is you owe me a house full of this item is not considered davar shebemidah shemishkal sheminyan, is only if you just say stam a house. There are lots of different size houses. You drive around any neighborhood and all these houses have different sizes, so that's not a defined amount. But if you say bayezeh, if you point to the house and you say bayezeh male, well then that is a defined amount. Amale Rava Iyachi Adetani Seifa, so Rava says no, because then if you wanted to come up with a contrast, when the Seifa says zomar adaziz, vizomar adachalon chayiv, that it's considered a quantified amount when one guy says up until the ledge and the other one says no, not up until the ledge, only up until the window, that is considered a quantifiable amount. So Liflug listening bedida, we could have contrasted even better. We could have said bamed that when is it not considered a clearly quantified amount? When you just say stam bayis male, aval bayis zem male chayiv. But we could have said that, you know, it is a quantified amount when you say bayis zem male. Ella Amar Rava. Rava says the Olamein Chayev Aichet and Enu B'Davar Shem Midav Shem Mishkal Shem Minyan V'Yodlo B'Davar Shem Midav Shem Mishkal Shem Minyan. So Rava says no, you're only Chayev and if the Taina is about something that's Shem Midav Shem Mishkal Shem Minyan, and he's Moda to something that's Midav Mishkal Minyan, meaning even by Zeh is not enough. It would have to be something that's Shem Midav Shem Mishkal Shem Minyan. Asks Tosfos in Dibra Maskal Ella Amar Rava V'Im Tomar V'Amaylo Chashav by Zeh Molei Davar Shem Mida. Why is by Zeh Malay, not a davar shemida. To keep them by zem malay, zem machzor lo chasera nearest chasrona. If I said I gave you this house full to the top and you're giving it back half empty, and we could see that it's missing. Vareu kazomar the gag vizomar the ziz. Isn't that the same thing as saying one guy says I gave it to you when it was full to the roof, and the other one says no, you only gave it to me up to the ledge. When I say a house full of something, so, you know, people say they have a house full of guests. Really? Full of guests? So probably there's room for more. So when someone says bayis malay, it doesn't always mean malay to the very top. Arach alone is a very specific amount. You know exactly where the window. But bayis malay is not really quantifiable. Inami be'inan shiyaskir mida bahuda aso. Or it could be that it's not enough to mention a midah to mention a measurement in the taina. The hoda'a also has to mention a measurement, and when the hoda'a is just this bayis chaser is what I'm giving you, a bayis that's not totally full, that doesn't mention a midah. That's why it's excluded from modern mitzvos. Tanya kavase de Rava, we have a brisa that says just like Rava. Potter. Guys, it's a kofar akol. You owe me a kortvua, none at all is potter. Menorah gedola yesh libiyadcha. You owe me a menorah gedola. Ein lecha biyadi ela menorah katana. No, I only owe you a menorah katana. potter, because that's not the miminataina. He's saying that he owes something, but he owes something else entirely. A menorah katana is not half of a menorah gadol; it's just a different item entirely. Azura gadol yeshli biyadcha, a large belt you owe me. Ein lecha biyadi ela azura katana. No, I only have a small belt. So potter is going to be potter because again, it's a different item entirely. Aval amr lo quartz vo yeshli biyadcha valomer ein lecha biyadi ela lesech chayv. If he says you owe me a quart of tvua, he says no, I only owe you a lesech of tvua. So that's mamish of the mixas. That is going to be chayiv. Menorah bas eser litrin yesh libiyadcha. You owe me a menorah that weighs 10 litrin. Ein lecha biyadi ela bas chamesh litrin. No, I only owe you a menorah that weighs 5 litrin. Chayiv. He's going to be chayiv. Normally, when they sell silver, they sell by the weight. And I was just with my wife in Eretz Yisrael last month. We were walking around, and she said she couldn't believe how cheap some of the silver menorahs are. She saw the numbers that were she was going to buy for my brother-in-law. They got robbed a year ago, and they lost all their silver because they were Arab workers next door, whatever, whole story. So she was going to tell my sister to buy for my brother-in-law. And then she went in the store. They said, no, that's not the price. That's the weight. And then we cheshbon the price. Then we size you up and figure out what to make the price after. But that's just the weight. Everything is going to be sold by the weight. Kol shel davar li'olamein chayiv aichaytanenu b'davar shemidav shemishkol sheminyan v'yodalo b'davar shemidav shemishkol sheminyan. Both the taina and the hoda have to be b'midav mishkol minyan. Kol shel davar la'suyeh mai. What does this klal come to include? Lav la'suyeh bayizem malei. Doesn't it come to include bayizem malei? So exactly like Rava says that even bayizem malei is not considered midav mishkol minyan. U'maishna menor gadol menor katana. Why is it that menor gadol menor katana was not considered modav b'miktsas? So we explained. Because what the guy claimed, the other guy didn't admit, it's a totally different item, a menorah katana and a menorah gedola. When you say a 10 liter weighted menorah versus a one that weighs 5 liter, that's not part of the same thing. Those are also totally different items. So why is it that is considered a mode of mix, as we just said? So Amrav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, that we're talking about a menorah that has movable parts that you can add branches to it. So he's saying, I gave you one that had all the branches added, and therefore it was 10 liter. And you say, no, you only gave me with half of the branches, and therefore it only weighed half that amount. So it is the same item, and it is in fact a modem mitzos. Yachi azuranami, but then by the same thing, we can say the same thing by a belt. Nisni v'lukmi b'dal yafi. Why don't we say that modem mitzos applies even to a belt, and it's talking about an expandable belt that I claim that I gave you with all the pieces, with all the expansion pieces on the belt, and you say no, I only gave you with some of the pieces, not with all of the pieces. So clearly we're not talking about an item that has parts that could be added to it and subtracted from it. That's not the case. So we're back to our question. By the menorah also, we're not talking about a menorah that has parts that could be added or subtracted from it. So we're back to the question, why is it when I say that I gave you a menorah shel eser litrin and you say that it was shel chamesh litrin, why is that about the mixes? They're two totally separate items. It's not me minataina. Ella Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, shiny menorah hol v'yachol legora la'amida al chamesh litrin. No, a menorah is different because the same height, the same size menorah, you can scrape it down and thin it out and make it weigh half as much. So it is considered miminataina because that same menorah that's eser litrin can become chamesh litrin if you scrape it down. So that's different. That's considered miminataina, not by removing pieces, but by just scraping down the entire thing. Okay, new mission now. Hamalvas chaver al mashkon. A person gives a mashkon. So I borrow $1,000 and I give you a mashkon in return. Va'avad mashkon, and now you've lost the mashkon. And now there's a dispute how much that mashkon was worth. I borrowed $1,000, I gave you my watch as a mashkon. What kind of watch was it? So amr lo, selil visicha alav, v'shekel hayashava. The malva says that I lent you a selah, but the mashkon was worth a shekel. Va'lomar loki, and the lova says, no, el selil visani alav, v'selah hayashava. That you lent me a sella, but guess what? The mashkon was worth the entire value of the loan. It was worth a full sella, and therefore I owe you nothing. The loan is canceled. Potter. That's a din of kofar akol, because the malva is claiming, you owe me a shekel, you owe me half the value of the loan, and the lover is saying, I owe you zero, so that's a kofar akol, he's potter. But if the malva says that it was, that the mashkon was worth, I lent you a sell, the mashkon was worth a shekel. Va'alomer lo ki ela sella hilvisani alav vishlosha dinarim ayashava, that no, you lent me a sella, but the mashkon was worth shlosha dinarim, it was worth 3/4 the amount of the loan, not half of the loan, so I only owe you 1/4 the amount of the loan, chayiv. Then he's going to be chayiv of modem miktsas, because he is in fact being modem miktsas. The malva is claiming that you owe him half the amount of the loan, you're saying that you only owe him 1/4 of the amount of the loan, that's exactly modem miktsas. And then you have in the opposite as well, selah v'sani alav ushtayim hayashava, what if the lova makes a taina to the malva? You lent me $1,000, I gave you my $2,000 watch, it was a very fancy watch, it was a $2,000 watch, so you owe me $1,000 for losing my mashkon. V'halo omer, and the malva says, lo ki elasela v'sichalav v'sela hayashava, no, I lent you $1,000, your watch was pretty fancy but not that fancy, it was only worth $1,000, pater. So then he's kofar akol, he's pater. Sela v'sani alav v'shtayim hayashava, I lent you a sela, I borrowed a sela from you, but my mashkon was worth shtayim. V'halo omer, and the malva says, lo ki you lent me a sella, but I lent you a sella, and the mashkon was worth a little more than a sella, but not two sella. It was worth, 1,250 or 1,500. So then chayiv. Then he's going to be chayiv because he's modav mitzas. Umi nishba. And then the Mishnah says, almost like a separate statement, and who's the one that takes the shvua in these cases of modav mitzas? Now keep in mind, we had two cases of modav mitzas. One where the mashkon was definitely worth more than the loan, that was the second case, and the other where the mashkon was worth less than the loan, and the question was how much less. So minishba misha pikadon atzlo shema yishav azev yotzi ala se pikadon. The guy who has the pikadon, who should have had, who should be holding on to the mashkon, he's the one that's going to have to take the shvua, meaning the malva. The malva is the one that should be holding on to the mashkon, he's the one that has to take the shvua, because we're afraid that if the other guy takes the shvua, if the lova takes the shvua, the malva might say, oh yeah, you took a shvua that it was worth X amount, look, I have it right here, and we'll be able to show that what he said is not true. So what? So we'll be able to show why is that so terrible? Says Rashi, v'yotzeh las mekadon v'shama lo dikta k'zeh b'shuma v'yifsalenu le'edus l'shvua. Maybe when he was assessing its value, he wasn't so precise in his assessment, and it's going to turn out that he was it was not true, his assessment was not true, and now he's going to be pasul le'edus l'shvua, he's going to lose all ne'amanus. Says Tosfos, he quotes Rashi and says Rach says the same thing. Okay, so if he's pasaleidus, he's a Rasha, he deserves to be pasaleidus. We have to make a takana that the other guy takes a shvua because you're a Rasha. No, it just could be that the guy has the item the whole time, and then there's no need for a shvua. We don't want to take shvuas for no reason whatsoever. So in order to ensure that there's an actual need for the shvua, we make sure that the malva takes the shvua. Says Gemara Eheya. Which case of the Mishnah are we saying that the guy who's holding the pikadon takes the shvua, that it's a takana derabanan that he takes the shvua? If it's going where the pikadon was, where the mashkon was worth more than the actual loan, they typically the shvua gabe malva. Of course, the malva is the one that takes the shvua. He's the one that's moda b'miktsas. So of course he would take the shvua. You wouldn't need a takana that he takes the shvua. He's the moda b'miktsas. So Shmuel la reisha. Now it must be in the case of the reisha where the mashkon was worth less than the value of the loan, where the lova is the moda b'miktsas. V'cheinam Rav Chiya barav a reisha. V'cheinam Rav Yochanan a reisha. Many other Amoram also agreed we must be talking about the Resha. My Resha. Well, which case of the Resha? The case where it was Kofar HaKol or the case where it was Modeh B'Mitzvos? Well, clearly Sefer the Resha. Obviously the case of Modeh B'Mitzvos where there's a Shvua. In the case of Kofar HaKol, there's no Shvua. Selu V'Sicha Lav V'Shekel Hayashava. Guy says, I lent you a Sela and the Mashkon that you gave me back was only worth a Shekel. V'alo Omer, and the Lova says, Loki El Selva V'Sanya Lav V'Shlosha Dinarim Hayashava. You lent me a Sela, and you're right, the mashkon wasn't worth a full Sela, but it was worth most of it. So then chayiv, that's a modem b'miktsas, he's going to be chayiv. The shvua gabe lovehi, because really the shvua should have been taken by the Lova. After all, the Lova is the one that is really the Moda Mimitzas. Vishaklua Rabbanan Malva Milove Milove Vishadua Amalve. The Rabbanan took the Shua from the Lova, who's the real Moda Mimitzas and who should have been the guy taking the Shua, and instead gave it to the Malva. Vahash Adamna Ravashi the Kaimilan Zenish Bashena Brashuso Vizenish Bakamashava. Ooh, but once Ravashi explains that at the end of our Mishnah, that they both have to take a Shavua, that the Malva has to swear that he doesn't have the Mashkin anymore, and the Lova has to Zenish Kamashava, the Lova has to swear how much it was worth. So you can't say that the Shaila at the end of the Mishnah, Mi Nishba, is who swears. They both swear. So then you'd have to say, Hachi Kamar, what the Tana is saying at the end of the Mishnah is, Mi Nishba Tchila, who swears first? Ah, Misha Pikadon, it's low. It's the Malva who's supposed to be holding on to the Mashkon. He swears first that he no longer has the Mashkon, and only afterwards the Lova swears how much the Mashkon was worth. Because we're afraid that if the Lova swears first, then the Malva is never going to swear at all, because he'll just take out the Pikadon, and it will be clear how much it was worth, and it will, again, the way Rashi learns, passel the Lova from Shvua and from Eidos in the future. So that's a second explanation of the Mishnah, that Mi Nishba is not only going on the Reisha, and it's asking who swears, and it's saying at Takana Drabban, we take the Shvua from the Lova and give it to the Malva. Mi Nishba is going on all the cases where both guys are going to have to swear. It's a question of Mi Nishba Tchila, who's going to swear first? And the answer is always that the Malva is going to have to swear first. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Shmuel tomorrow.